This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard on VSiN.
Hey everyone, welcome in. It is, as we do every single Tuesday, your Tuesday crew on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. We're live from downtown Las Vegas at our Circus Sportsbook studios. Great to see Mike Pritchard. I'm Ben Wilson. Matt Santos, our producer behind the glass. Yet another Monday night in the books, Pritch. And all of a sudden, within the context of the AFC race, Baltimore Ravens starting to look pretty good. Three straight wins, 6-3, and down to 6-1 now, Mike, to win the AFC. Team that is playing with momentum, looking to get a little healthier now, and you have to like the direction they're going in.
Yeah, not bad outing right there by the Baltimore Ravens on the road without Andrews, premium playmaker right there offensively. And you think about the running back situation for them when you have Drake coming in and doing well too. So, not a great performance by the Saints at home, who had an opportunity to go and be tied with Tampa Bay and Atlanta and start their division. But, yeah, I mean, Baltimore, you kind of like them moving forward for a lot of reasons. Obviously adding Roquan Smith, and they're going to get healthier, like you alluded to and mentioned there, Ben. But they were the home team last night, if you think about it, right? And that, to me, speaks so loudly in terms of what this team's psyche is, mentality is, and confidence level is at right now, too. So, yeah, that bodes well for Baltimore moving forward.
I was on the Saints last night.
Oh, man.
I felt very stupid early. That was a dead dog walking.
Big
reason why I liked New Orleans going in was, what had Baltimore really shown us defensively? Mm-hmm. They were 24th against the run, 25th against the pass heading into last night. Sure, you bring in Roquan Smith in a deadline deal from Chicago, but how would that really impact things right away? And what ends up happening, as we'll show you on the screen in a second, 13 first downs on 10 drives for the Saints.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, Baltimore goes 40 carries, 188 yards on the ground against the Saints' number one rush defense. Another angle I liked on the Saints' side. Two big surprising elements for me, Mike, considering the stats had not been there in those respective elements for the Ravens.
Yeah, look at the time of possession, though.
Yeah.
That's why I said Baltimore was a home team. And that's hard to do. I played in that dome. And when the Saints are going, when they're marching, that dome is a hard place to function in. But no, I think it speaks so loudly about where Baltimore is as a football team and their confidence level. You know, Roquan Smith coming in, and yeah, it was the late moment trade situation, but he's a defensive player. You know, you just say, just read and react, go get the football. And I don't think that scheme is that complicated either. And Roquan Smith, he's a hell of a player. He's a smart player too. So making an impact in some running plays there, and Kamara was not a factor because of the athleticism on the other side for Baltimore. I leaned towards the Ravens. I didn't play it come off the weekend. I was satisfied with my weekend, and I didn't play. I did look at a Saints teaser, though, earlier on in the week, but I'm glad I didn't play that either.
And you decided, no, we're good.
Yeah, I mean, it's Andy Dalton, right? And I know the quarterbacks mean so much to the number, and Lamar Jackson, the influence and the impact that he can have on an offense. We saw that last night. But the whole quarterback depending position angle that I've been talking about as a player, you know, even when you do have a decent quarterback, you have to have that supporting cast as well. But when you don't have a decent quarterback and he misses throws, and I mean, that's a downgrade, right? And that's why I was looking at a teaser side of things for the Saints. But I didn't play it. But I did have a lean on the Ravens, though.
And the takeaway on the Saints side has to be, as you point out, like, who are the Saints? Yeah. What is this team? They're 3-6, yet the numbers had looked really good in a lot of instances. Good defensive personnel, best rush defense in the league. And then you get battered right up the middle time and again with the, you know, being outplayed in the trenches here. And you look at this New Orleans offense as well. Alvin Kamara, last time I checked, pretty good, Mike.
Right.
9 carries, 3 catches out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. You're really giving him 12 touches in a game where you have a second quarterback you've been on this year in Andy Dalton. It's just, it's been like that game was a microcosm of the Saints season in a nutshell, where just when you start to think we figure out what that identity is, they take a giant step backwards and now sit, as you point out, 3-6 and unable to make up any ground in that NFC South race.
Right. I mean, their most consistent playmakers, speaking of the Saints, you know, Olave has been decent as a rookie at times, Kamara too, but you know, Kamara could be limited. Like, if you have linebackers that can cover him out of the backfield, or if you got guys that can run with him, or if you got guys or a potent defensive front that can negate the running game. You take Kamara out of a lot of situations. The guy I thought the Saints should have focused in on was Taysom Hill from a gadget guy play. You know, he tried to run in plays and stuff like that, but Baltimore was ready for it. The thing that happened in that game reversed for me, because I thought the Saints would be better prepared against Lamar Jackson. The stat of the week going into that game was Lamar Jackson 13-1 and 14 career starts against the NFC. Right. And so that told me that the NFC, they don't see a player like Lamar Jackson. The AFC does, obviously. And then he's just so hard to prepare for. But with Taysom Hill, I thought he could give that defense a look similar to Lamar. Not be Lamar, but be similar to Lamar and what they want to do. But obviously that didn't work out, because Lamar Jackson still was impactful in the running game. But on the other side, I thought Taysom Hill could be impactful. But then you have the Ravens seeing Lamar Jackson each and every day too. So that negated that.
How much do you want to look at last night and say, we had Baltimore coming off Thursday night, whereas we've talked about on this show, that has been a very profitable angle now to look at. And whether that is the extra two to three days, meaning you have better health, you look crisper in your execution. But those teams now, the last 10 teams coming off our last five Thursday night football games, 8-2 against the number the following week.
Right.
And Baltimore definitely looked like a rested, crisp team, even with some of the injuries out there. Are you willing to look at last night and say more of a product of the Thursday night trends, or more of poor negative signs to come here for New Orleans?
I think it's more of the team and those trends, because Baltimore ran it 40 times. You know, and we think about the wear and tear on running backs when we think about the running game, but more importantly, it's about the offensive line, right? And that offensive line, to block and to be physical like that for 40 plays against that defensive front, that's what the preference was for that offensive line. I mean, I think the Saints, they have a pretty good, a decent pass rush, right? And you know that. And you know, without Andrews, that could have been dicey and difficult. But I love how Baltimore established their game plan. I mean, they came out, they threw the ball a little bit, but their bread and butter was running the football, even with Kenyon Drake, who's a change of pace kind of guy. He's not a between the tackles type of running back, but he was basically untouched a lot of times. So a lot of credit to the offensive line. So if you're looking for angles moving forward,
right,
with teams like Baltimore, Thursday night trend or a short week situation, is it their fabric to get up and be physical like that? Is it a mentality? And I think with Baltimore, it is.
Can we also retire the whole narrative that Baltimore can't finish games? Wasn't that more of just a one or two off type situation where you blow the Miami game in the fashion that they did, lose a wonky Giants game late, a team that could very easily right now be 7-2 or 8-1. We retire that narrative. It was a weird week two or week three game. Like, that's just how it was for Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, that was an outlier. I think Miami Dolphins was at 1-711 now in situations where you have that big of a lead in the fourth quarter in the last decade. And
usually
you lose
an
game.
Optimal situation.
No, outlier. Yep. So, but I think the Ravens, they're an aging roster though. Like, Calais Campbell was out for an important game, and you look at the secondary and how much advanced age they are, I guess, if you will, in the National Football League. Adding Roquan Smith has added some energy, you know, and added that presence too, though. I mean, we haven't seen a presence like that for a while.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And
is the acquisition there?
Yeah. And I think that is going to, in the locker room, is going to add energy, but on the field, that's just going to add so much more confidence to that defense side of the ball. Now,
we'll talk a little bit later in the show about the concerns in Buffalo injury wise with Josh Allen at quarterback. With that being said, and some uncertainty, at least as we sit at the midway point of the season, you interested at 6-1 in Baltimore? Is that a number that entices you, or is this just, they looked really good on a national stage, so now their value is a little bit inflated?
I will say this. The threat of Lamar Jackson now throwing the ball is opening up Lamar Jackson as a runner and doing Lamar Jackson things. He is a handful and then some, right? Now, in the playoffs, does it formulate into something successful? We haven't seen it, right? We haven't seen Lamar Jackson in the playoffs have that high level of success. But the threat, and that's what they're doing. They're threatening you with the prospect that Lamar Jackson is a pocket passer. But make no mistake, their bread and butter is running the football and being physical that way. So you know, the defense being improved, the elbow situation with Josh Allen. I mean, we'll find out more about that. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, if they do develop a running game, they looked all the part. But, you know, I'm curious about the Dolphins. I'm not sold on them yet. But
Not yet.
It's enticing though, 6-1 right now with what Baltimore though.
At least for Baltimore, and you mentioned the physicality for a veteran team mm-hmm. that needs to be in those schedule optimal type spots.
Right,
you couldn't ask for a better stretch right now. You play one game in 3 weeks, bye week now for Baltimore after they had the Thursday night the previous week, mm-hmm. and they get Carolina at home coming out of the bye. This seems, Mike, like you're going to have a 7-3 team heading into week 12, where. That's as good of a stretch as you could want to have and a position to be in heading into the home stretch.
Yeah, that loss to the Jets by Buffalo opened up home field, number one seed. It really did open that up. And, you know, Kansas City, I mean, that's something that they live by, that the AFC championship goes through them. And now they have an opportunity again, even though they lost to Buffalo earlier on.
Right. As far as the Saints, it's just we could talk about it more a little bit later.
I had a future on them too.
They're now 5-1 in the NFC South.
Great.
Tampa Bay is -200 after that very convincing last second win over the Rams. Still to come, as we're just starting things out on the Lombardi Line. It is our regulars here on a Tuesday. Will Hill, our outstanding VSiN analyst, and then Josh Applebaum, host of VSiN Morning Daily Bets and the Market Insights podcast. Those two gentlemen will join us a little bit later. Up next, though. There's turmoil around the league, Mike. Firing in Indianapolis. Could there be another one in Las Vegas in the weeks to come? We'll discuss because those two teams play each other this week.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. I think we stumbled into a little pro tip in segment one, Pritch, right out of the gates. Again, looking at not blindly following trends, but if you can hone in on very specific things that play out time and again in the NFL this year, over the last 5 weeks, teams coming off of Thursday Night Football the following week are 8-2 against the number. And we've seen, as we just talked about, consistently looking crisper, sharper, well-rested. And that has resulted in some edges there in the betting line.
Right. And then look for the obvious stuff that you want to look for at this time of year. And, you know, teams getting better, teams adding premium players, you know, those kind of things. But, you can enhance some of these trends that way. I talked about style of play. We've seen a shift in the NFL this year in terms of style of play and the running game and the toughness factor. And we know, that's right in the wheelhouse of Baltimore and that culture. Mm-hmm. So. You can certainly enhance your betting prospects that way by tracking what you just mentioned, following the pro tips here at VSiN for sure, but enhancing that too with that kind of knowledge.
We have a pro tip every single hour here at the network, 20 a day. Go to VSiN.com for pro subscribers. All of our pro tips available there. For this week, Houston and Philadelphia each getting support in the market. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about those teams a little bit later, but Houston from 7 to 6.5 point dogs at the Giants. Philadelphia from 10 to 11. We will probably see that get to 11.5. Philadelphia, okay. Right now it's a blanket 11 on the board, hosting Washington on Monday Night Football. Another interesting matchup as we start flipping ahead to week 10 in the NFL. In Indianapolis, it will be a new coach, Jeff Saturday, the interim, who was just announced yesterday after Frank Reich fired by owner Jim Irsay. You look at this Indianapolis team, preseason favorite to win the AFC South, and Mike, at 3-5-1, it has been a disaster in every which way. Worst offensive line in the game, benching a quarterback they signed in the offseason and committed to in Matt Ryan. What did you make of, A, the decision to fire Reich, and B, the decision to hire a guy with zero professional coaching experience?
Well, let's start with A. Last week we were on A about the smoke screens. You know,
you literally texted me, smoke screens.
Oh, no. I mean, they fired their offensive coordinator after benching Matt Ryan. I'm like, oh, my God, there's so many smoke screens here because Frank Reich calls the plays, and you're going to fire your offensive coordinator. I mean, and I even said Frank Reich is next. Now, I didn't think Ursay would do it in the middle of the season because he hasn't really done that, right? And maybe he'll wait to the end of the year, but he did not hesitate because obviously he had been talking to Jeff, you know, a little bit along the way. Because you just don't knee-jerk and say, hey, Jeff Saturday, could you be my head coach? I mean, you've had conversations.
You don't call him up on Monday at 11 a.m. and, hey, buddy, you want to think about this coach?
Right. Or I'm going to fire this guy, but I want you. No, no, I think they've been not in cahoots or anything like that, but certainly I've been talking about it. You know, Ursay, he probably needed to do something like this. He cut Peyton Manning. When Peyton Manning, and then he had comments about Peyton Manning in regards to, I'm tired of the Star Wars numbers or something like that to the extent that way. I want to win championships. Now, it opened the door to drafting Andrew Luck, but we know the story with Andrew Luck. But from a legendary player standpoint, Ursay probably needed to do this, or he felt like he needed to do this. Now, when Wilkes got the interim head coaching situation in Carolina, was there a big press conference for the interim head coach?
I don't remember either,
but I do remember this one.
Under the radar, yes.
I remember the owner and Chris Ballard, and I remember, you know, this big press conference for an interim head coach. I think this is all optics. This is something for the organization and maybe for jersey sales and ticket attendance. There's no substance to this at all for Jeff Saturday to be the head coach of the Colts.
And Jim Ursay, of the many notable lines in that press conference, the one that stands out the most, you see the bio from Jeff Saturday, who is now the interim head coach, but Jim Ursay says, I like Jeff Saturday because he doesn't have that fear in his eyes. He hasn't failed before and hasn't had to go through those things at the pro level. And he's somebody who isn't overcome by analytics and who isn't going to think in that way. He's just going to think with his gut.
Right.
Did your Jim Ursay ever play or coach?
I don't know.
No. So now you have Saturday in with no experience. Oh, the thing we're trying to figure out for this week, especially, there's not a single coach who has ever called plays right now on this Colts coaching staff.
Right.
Jeff Saturday comes in on a Monday. Team plays Las Vegas this week. What do you think ends up being the case from a play calling standpoint?
I have no idea. And that's the crazy thing about this hire is because it's in reverse. I mean, Frank Reich fired the offensive coordinator before he got fired, like thinking that was going to save his job. This is hilarious, by the way.
It's like Arrested Development.
It really
narrator.
Is. It really is. But now Frank is fired, but now you don't have an offensive coordinator. You know, if it was really from the top and they had structure, if they had a thought process, they probably would have said, oh, let's hold off on firing the offensive coordinator. Let's give Frank Wright one more week. And then if it looks like this and if this that bad, then, okay, we'll fire him, but we'll at least have an offensive coordinator for a young quarterback. This is comedy all the way around. And I feel sorry for Saturday because I think the fellas are not going to respect this in the locker room. You have Kevin Mawai on the offensive line. He's a Hall of Famer. Jeff Saturday is a legendary Colt, but Kevin Mawai is a Hall of Famer. Reggie Wayne should be a Hall of Famer. He's on that staff. Gus Bradley's been a coach before, a head coach, and he's on that staff. And it's like, are they really going to look at this seriously? Like I said, this is optics. This is jersey sales. This is fan attendance, sentiment, whatever you want to go, wherever you want to go. There's no substance behind this.
It's just on the offensive line standpoint, too. So, again, Jeff Saturday, he will be taking over now. And at least latest line now, as we look at some of the updated numbers here, we have seen this move all the way up as high as 6.5. Couple of books still looking at 6. Raiders hosting the Colts this week. But the offensive line element, it's something that has not been talked about nearly enough because the offensive line is not a sexy thing to talk about every single day. But the Colts spent $41 million on their offensive line this season, by far the most in the National Football League. They're 31st in run block separation, and they've allowed the most sacks by a wide margin, 35 so far in the NFL. How does a line that was top 2 or 3 each of the past few seasons crater to a degree that severe, Mike? It's an impossible thing to try to figure out.
Right. If there's any substance to this, it would be Saturday trying to create the willingness to be tough.
as a former lineman and outstanding center.
Right, but again, you have Kevin Mawai, who played center, you know, Saturday played center. Kevin Mawai is a Hall of Famer, like I mentioned. But, you know, Kevin Mawai is from that Howard Mudd situation, too. Same thing with Saturday. And Howard Mudd was in Seattle. I played with Kevin Mawai in Seattle, too, and Howard Mudd was there. And he was just so impactful as an offensive line coach, much like Scarnecchia, who was out there in New England. But with Saturday coming in, he's going to challenge these offensive linemen to be tough again. I mean, Quentin Nelson, what happened to your toughness, man? Somebody stole that from you when linebackers are trucking you through the line of scrimmage that way. And so, if anything, the takeaway for me as a better now, not as a player in the comedy of the situation, but as a better, the Colts want to run the football. How can we run the football? Just like everybody else in the National Football League. Well, you got to be tough. You know, scheme goes so far, but you got to be tough. And if Saturday can do any type of motivating a leader or example of trying to instill toughness in an offensive line, maybe there's a chance for the Colts. They got a decent defense, you know. It's not horrible. They got decent players there. Gus Bradley, again, a respected defensive coordinator, but they can't run the football. They can't function.
And you're now facing a Las Vegas defense. For all the issues for the Raiders, eighth against the run heading into last week against Jacksonville. And for the Raiders, the issues once again have been protecting leads.
Mm-hmm.
1-3 under Josh McDaniels with a 17-plus point lead this year.
Right.
Pretty remarkable, at least when you consider that the Raiders, as a franchise since 1984, had been 106-3 in those same spots. Blowing a 17-point lead does not happen all that often, as we just indicate with the numbers here. Where do the Raiders go now, having to lay a big number with the continued turmoil now of a 2-7 team?
Yeah, there's turmoil. That's a great word for everything that's going on with the Raiders right now. And I don't know how to get it together. Like, they thought they could band together by staying in Florida for the week. And I laughed at that because you're supposed to do that in training camp, right? You establish those kind of relationships. But clearly they're not all on the same page. And, you know, it's the wheels are wobbling. I don't know if the wheels have fallen off. They're already talking about going beyond Derek Carr. I mean, Josh McDaniels, he's failure as a head coach. And here comes the Colts, the comedy of the Colts. You're catching 6 points here. And it's fascinating from a betting standpoint. I mean, if the Colts can run the football, they could get inside this number.
Amazing,
because of what's going on with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Second half of the Raiders, 25 plays, 65 total yards against the Jacksonville defense, who was bottom 10 in yards per drive allowed this season. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
It was so bad. And the Jaguars get the job done. There's a lot of injury news and notes as well to unpack from around the NFL. We'll discuss the impact of a potential injury in Buffalo with Josh Allen. Tests happening today for Allen. We'll discuss when we return.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
College basketball has started, and now is the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide. At over 400 pages, it's our biggest betting guide ever, with odds, trends, power ratings, and analysis on every team. Our team of experts, including Greg Hoops Peterson and Matt Eumanns, provide their predictions for win totals, futures, conference champions, tournament teams, and breakdowns of all 60 coaching changes since last season. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $99 and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do all the way through the Super Bowl. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Meanwhile, for us on the Lombardi Line, an NFL betting show, we're focused on all these injuries coming out. It is an injury Tuesday here to start. We're waiting on an update on Josh Allen, who is seeing specialists today, looking at a sprained UCL, ulnar collateral ligament, that he suffered late in that loss to the Jets on Sunday. Was still, at least after the injury, Mike, able to throw a football 69.7 yards, which was the longest football thrown this season by the ESPN, the next-gen stats that they keep there. But you think about the loss for Buffalo, this injury that is going to, at the very least, limit Allen, expected to not miss any time, but will be limited this week in practice for the Bills. What do you make now of what this does here to Allen and this Bills offense?
Well, I mean, the sense of urgency now is created again. I mean, off a bye week, you get by Green Bay. You played a good first half, second half. Nothing was good about that, really, Josh Allen. Then you lose to the Jets, right? And so that should wake you up for the best team in the National Football League. Now, the injury maybe compromises things a little bit. The UCL situation, you know, adrenaline's going in the game. And he's not going to feel the pain of that until now. That's when, okay, I got an injured elbow. I got a situation with my elbow. But Josh Allen's the type of player, the type of quarterback to ask the doctors, you know, from this evaluation, depending on what they find, obviously they're going to get some imaging. Can we fix it in offseason? Is this something I can play with, right? I mean, a lot of players would be that way. I know I would be that way. Look, can we fix this in offseason? Can I get through it? I can get through the pain. I'm good. So we'll see what develops, though. But, no, I think there's a sense of urgency created now because the performances, the last 30 minutes against Green Bay and then the performance against the Jets, you know, that's something that should be a wake-up call for this football team. Now, they're going to get better. But when you're front runners, I think that has a tendency of happening. It could happen to you. I've been in a front-running situation before, and, man, it gets tough. It really does when all of a sudden you look across the field and that team thinks of you differently, right? And so we knew the Jets, the culture had changed with Robert Saleh, the head coach, and they got the job done. But, no, a lot of concern with the elbow situation to find out the severity of that UCL injury.
I'm glad you used the word urgency, though, because watching Bills games, it wasn't just last week, but it's been a number of times throughout the season where Josh Allen has thrown four red zone interceptions now, and it has almost felt like this laissez-faire approach where they know they have the better personnel, the best, arguably the best quarterback in the game. If you want to talk about Allen versus Mahomes, that's a big talking point, and we'll show you the updated MVP odds in a minute where one has usurped the other right now in the odds board. But it has had that feel where, like, they know what they can do, and yet it's just odd, though, to see that manifest in the red zone of all places.
Right.
It's one thing to go three and out and maybe start slowly, but it's weird to me, Mike, that the Bills' issues have been in the red zone a lot of times, where that's the one area you'd think you are as locked in as in any spot on the field.
Well, the red zone is difficult these days because teams are designing their defenses like that. Like, you know, the two high safeties, the soft shell coverages and all that, you know, between the 20s, it's hard and difficult to stop an offense, a high-powered offense in today's NFL. But where can we stop them? Where do we have an advantage? In the red zone. We got an extra defender with the back in the end zone, and we can get more physical. We're not worried about people running behind us. And therefore, if we can keep everybody in front of us, the offense has to make the plays. Now, if the offense can run the ball, it's different. The Buffalo Bills, the toughness aspect is not there, right? They traded for Hines, which is another pass-catching running back or option. Maybe Buffalo's trying to do too much. They'll see that on tape. Josh Allen's trying to do too much, you know, trying to do things in the red zone that you shouldn't be doing. But it's because you can't be physical and run the football that way. And they need to fix that. I thought they were going to fix it this year. And because I saw that last year. But they need to have the ability to run the football, be physical in the red zone. That will help out the passing game because now you can create matchups. But if you don't have matchups and you just have concepts in the red zone, that's going to get difficult.
Now with Josh Allen being limited to the run game, importance increases that much more. And that's the one statistical area where the Bills had been below average coming into this past week, 19th in run block separation. And you thought, well, does that really matter? They have Josh Allen. They have all these outstanding wide receivers. Maybe that matters more so now going forward, and maybe why you'd be a little bit more hesitant to lay big numbers here with the Bills.
I did not know there was a stat for blocking.
Dude, there's a stat for everything.
Wait a minute, hold up. Run block separation?
Football outsiders, run block separation. Well, it's a pretty self-explanatory stat.
I'm not clowning on it.
How good are you doing as an offensive line of creating separation for your running backs?
I never knew that existed, seriously. 1,000%.
You were a wide receiver. You weren't having to run block, Mike.
I mean, we did our fair share, but I never thought there was a stat for run block separation. Okay, how do they even quantify that? Is it the amount of separation they get on a block, or what?
The advantage on yards, like if you say line of scrimmage, that's 0.0.
Right.
The amount of yards beyond the line of scrimmage you are creating on average for your running back.
Okay. Yards before
a similar way of
gotcha. Football outsiders.
I like how Mike's just like, I mean, I played in the league. Why do we need this?
Hey, man.
Hey, it's context, man. And that shows, though, Buffalo and the other running statistics do reflect that as well.
If football outsiders can make some money off of run block separation, more power to them.
Hey.
Seriously.
I like that. Mike's like, I'm not having it with the run block separation. But that does seem to be a thing, though, right? Where if you're Buffalo, if you can't run the ball, And right. Now we know that Josh Allen, depending on the severity of this injury, likely not to miss time, but at least we'll have to work through this. That could be a thing that defenses, you would imagine, target pretty specifically and vociferously here down the stretch.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, Buffalo wanted to run the ball with Josh Allen a lot of times, design runs with him in the red zone, but with the elbow, maybe you're a little bit cautious about that now. But Josh Allen is not going to turn that down, though. I mean, I think if there's a chance to make plays, kind of like what we saw with Patrick Mahomes against Tennessee here recently. I mean, look, I can win the game with my legs. I'm going to do it, right? And so I think Josh Allen is that type of quarterback too, but no, they have to have some type of running game. They wanted a pass catching running back to help out the passing game, but it's the toughness, the run block separation aspect that they need to enhance here.
I'm going to look that up now every single week. So we look at the MVP odds now and where that adjusts. While Allen was it around plus 110 or so heading into last week, falls back and out of plus 250, tied with Jalen Hurts of the Eagles for second on the odds board. Patrick Mahomes, though, not only leapfrogs Josh Allen, he also leapfrogs Jalen Hurts this past week, at least in the Mahomes standpoint, goes from, at least last week, about plus 450 at MGM down to plus 225 in a game where he throws 68 times, just too shy of Drew Bledsoe's 1993 NFL record. Should Mahomes have leapfrogged Hurts? It makes sense to leapfrog Allen, right? But shouldn't Hurts be the favorite at 8-0 and putting up the numbers he's putting up, Mike?
I would think so. But, you know, the numbers always kind of lead the way, and style of play, too, kind of leads the way. I think Jalen Hurts has some incredible moments and numbers, too, though. And his evolution or his growth has been incredible. Now, does that warrant Hall of Fame, MVP kind of odds or situation? I mean, Mahomes is kind of like the consistency that you appreciate that's going on with the Chiefs here, and what he did on the big stage against the Titans with his legs, like I just mentioned, those are moments that the voters are going to remember as well. Making a charge, though, is Tua, and then you still have a former MVP in Lamar at 10-1. Nicely priced right there.
So you're even looking for a little further. You think Jackson could still have some value there?
I mean, it's possible, right?
We talked about the beneficial stretch here, the one game in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Get Carolina at home out of a bye. That, you would think, schedule-wise, and both Baltimore and Philadelphia have very, very soft schedules going forward. I would think, as a result, that has to lead into your handicap. Now that we have a little shorter runway, we've taken the first half of the season out, we know the numbers are what they are. So you're thinking, to me, this is either a Hurts bet or probably nothing, but you think that there could be value on Jackson.
Yeah, because the value was on Mahomes a long time ago when Josh Allen certainly was a favorite. And, maybe people thought that the numbers would go down without Tyreek Hill. But no, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is impactful. Certainly some of the wins on the road against San Francisco and things like that. So we'll see, though. I mean, maybe the value from the situation, and again, recency bias with Baltimore off of Monday Night Football. But Lamar Jackson all year long, the prospects and the threat of him being a pocket passer has really opened up some of the running situations that Baltimore has right now.
If you look at Philadelphia, only two games left against teams with an over 500 record.
Yeah.
It is so soft. And you have Jalen Hurts leads the NFL in rushing yards over Jackson right now. And you also have a team that, last time I checked, has not lost a game yet.
Right.
This is a regular season award, remember, NFL MVP. Interesting to see, though, how the odds have now shifted since last week. We'll continue to monitor the news, if we get any during the show, on Josh Allen and the injury news there. But up next, it is our guy Will Hill, VSiN analyst, joins with his early week 10 thoughts next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We go out to the East Coast in New York, where our guy Will Hill is standing by, joining us, our outstanding VSiN analyst, at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. And, you know, for Pritch, it's a big weekend out there. You had the Jets who get the win over the Bills, and now we have the questions, Will, about Josh Allen and his health for Buffalo, and are there actionable things you can do in the betting market? Sounds like you have found a couple. What are you doing here with this Josh Allen injury news?
Yeah, you know, it's just, it's part of life as a bettor when you sort of have to act on the information, act on the injury news, and I'm just making a bet on the Vikings, and really my bet is that Allen won't play this week, and we don't know that for sure. I'm sure we'll get more of a definitive word today. I know some people have suggested Tommy John, which would bring Miami really into play to win the division, and you can get them at plus 550, but betting the Vikings here, plus I think all the sevens are gone. I think it's plus six. I'm just making a bet that he won't play. I think they'll be cautious with him. If you remember, he got hit. It was that sack on that second down play, final drive of the game. Third down play, he was wiggling his arm. He's grabbing his elbow. He skips the ball into the ground, I think, in front of Diggs. Now, on fourth down, he did throw it pretty far. But long story short, I'm making a bet here that Allen doesn't play. If he doesn't, this line probably closes, what, Buffalo by a field goal, maybe less? It'd be tough. Keenum's not a bad backup, but he's also not Josh Allen, the favorite to win MVP. So I'm just making a bet that Minnesota here will be facing a Buffalo team without its star quarterback. And boy, they've had a fortunate run here playing bad teams, playing injured teams, and it would certainly continue if they get Buffalo without Allen.
Mike, that opened eight.
Yeah.
And we're, again, as Will points out, we're down to 6.5.
Right.
You'd have to, Josh Allen worth at least 5 points to the line. So you could argue that could go inside three if that was the case, yeah. And Buffalo would close shorter than a field goal home favorite.
Well, I'm curious about Will's thoughts too on the other side with the Vikings, like, because I know Josh Allen impact, but then we know about Buffalo and that defense too, and then playing up there in Buffalo, it's impossible to win sometimes, Will. But you know, on the other side with the Vikings, here's where I get not confused, but very, very interested, because you know, you have a situation where last year the Vikings were close, right, in winning games, those one-score games. This year they're winning those games, but the sentiment is, okay, stay away from the Vikings. But I guess in a dog situation, that's where you probably would want to be on the Vikings.
Yeah, I've been betting against the Vikings these past few weeks. Just I think they're overrated based on their record. Even last week against Washington, they win. They either don't cover or push, depending on the number, but that's not a very good Washington team, and they're down 17-7 middle of the fourth quarter, and of course they pulled the game out of the fire. And you bring up a good point. They lost all these close games last year, the year before. They were just always snake bitten, and it's really sort of reversed this year where they're winning all these close games. But if you're in a situation where you're getting almost a touchdown and you're going to be possibly playing a backup quarterback, I do think it's a good spot to play on them. I don't know that they're really a contender in the NFC. Obviously, Philly, it's their conference to lose after that. You know, you could argue San Francisco, Dallas. Could you put Seattle in that mix? It's crazy to even say, but I don't know if you can leave them out anymore. But it's funny. It seems 7-1, but you don't hear anyone saying, you know, who I think is going to make a run is the Vikings. It's just sort of a team that we're all kind of meh on.
Hey, when you win six straight games by one score and you don't look particularly impressive in any of them, well, that's probably where that general narrative comes from. You mentioned the Seahawks, though, and they keep getting the job done. Kenneth Walker III has had an outstanding rookie season so far. And are you thinking this is now the time to buy before that number gets even shorter for rookie of the year?
I mean, is this the best number you could have gotten? No. Am I getting a great number? No. But I think in a couple weeks from now, you can still get him right now at plus 110. I think that plus money is going to be gone soon, because if you look around, it's pretty much him and Pierce. I guess you could put Olave in the mix. Pierce is a hell of a running back. He's really good. They're probably not going to give the award to a running back on a team in Houston that's going to win like two games and probably have the worst record in the league. Walker's contributing to a winning team. They're probably going to the playoffs. They're probably going to win 9-10 games. You're going to have more leads as a running back. You want a team that has leads. I just think this is Walker's award to lose. Of course, we have about, you know, a little less than half the season left. Anything can happen, but I wouldn't say we're getting to the point where you're just betting against an injury, but if Walker stays healthy, I'm pretty confident he's going to win this award. And I think this is probably your last chance to get him at plus money.
Yeah. You know, it's a good thought too. I started rocking the Seattle Seahawks jersey, by the way, Will and Ben, I started rocking that thing, but
That old number, what, 85?
85, oh, yeah, that's right. But, you know, the thing about it, too, I'm going to look it up. Will, do you know who the last running back to win offense or rookie of the year that way? Because maybe the sentiment can come around because we've seen the shift in the National Football League to the running game, right, Will? And the emphasis of running a football. And, okay, now you have the impact of Kenneth Walker to throw in the mix as well.
Is this a trivia question? I can't think. Top of my head, I would guess Gurley win it.
Will, you should know this because it's in your city. Saquon Barkley was,
okay,
was the guy.
Okay, Barkley won it.
Gurley won
it maybe.
Gurley did win
that
in 2015. Yeah, okay. The last three, Barkley 2018, Kamara 2017, and Gurley in 2015.
Do I get any parting gifts, consolation prizes, anything, or I just I go home empty?
No. Come on, Will. We're nicer than that. We're not gonna like boot you. Remember Eddie Lacy for my Green Bay Packers won it in 2013, and that was a fun time to be alive. And then, like, as we continue the theme here, Will, looking at some of these futures or longer season type bets, in a similar vein here to the Seahawks and thinking on Kenneth Walker, maybe the last time you can get that number before it gets out of hand and into the minus money range. How are you approaching this Rams in-season win total here with how awful they continue to look? Another loss at the hands of Tampa this past week.
Yeah, I just keep betting their season win totals under. So I have some 9.5, some under 9. I see it got reposted this week at 8. I mean, am I missing something here? They're 3-5. This team is not going to go 6-3 and beat you. Maybe best case scenario, they go 8-9 and you push, but I don't even think they're going to do that. They're not a good team. They can't block. They can't protect. I'm not sure Stafford makes it through the whole season. And if you look at their schedule, they still have road games at the Chiefs, at the Chargers, at the Packers, at the Saints, who are not great teams, the Packers and the Saints. But look, when you're the Rams and you're this bad, every game is hard for you. They still play Seattle twice. And, you know, LA, it's sort of a fair weather town where they love the Lakers. They love the Dodgers, but they're not going to have much of a home field advantage this second half of the season for sort of a middling Rams team. It's sort of a front runner city when it comes to the Rams. So to me, this is a team. Look, they won their title. They went all in. This is going to be ugly. That was a brutal loss the other day. I don't see them rallying here and making a push to the playoffs. To me, this is like, I don't know, a 6 or 7 win team. This team will not win 9 games to beat you. Worst case, they win 8 and you push, but I feel good about the under 8.
Well, how about this next game? It's Detroit-Chicago. I'm interested in watching this game, to be honest with you. I really am. I haven't made a bet. I don't know where if I want to make a bet in this game, but it's 3 in terms of Chicago laying. I see a 2.5, 2 minus 120. 48.5 is the total. Your thoughts on this matchup?
I'm just going to grab the 3 with Detroit. I don't know that Chicago, who's played better this last month or so, they played well in Minnesota, almost won that game. They played really well, obviously, on Monday night against New England. They were back and forth with Miami, but I'm not at the position now where I can lay a field goal here with the Bears.
Okay.
The Lions aren't a very good team. They don't win a ton of games, but they seem to be in all of these games. They're very good as an underdog. So to me, this is, you know, tie game with 2 minutes to go. This is a toss-up game. And if you're giving me 3 points in what's a toss-up game, I will take the 3 points. So I got the Lions here.
Feels like a good teaser spot, too, if you're taking them 2.5 or 3 up to the 8.5 or 9. Having had the in-game over Sunday, which has been a great bet to make in these Lions games, but having that, you can imagine my frustration watching the Packers just continually throw the ball and Aaron Rodgers just make horrible throw after horrible throw in the red zone. Like, are we really sold on this Lions defense being able to shut down a Bears offense? Give the Bears credit. Like, they're averaging over 30 points a game the last 3 weeks. I would be a little concerned on that front where I'm not sold at all on this Lions defense here.
No, neither am I, but they don't seem to get blown out by anybody. They got blown out by the Patriots a couple weeks ago, but they seem to be in all of these games, even though they don't win any of them. And yeah, that was certainly frustrating, I'm sure, if you had the over the other day, because you know you bet these overs, and it's all about where the turnovers are. If you get the turnovers on inside the other 20, it leads to points. If you get the turnovers inside the red zone, it wipes points off the board. So, you know, a lot of times the over-under comes down to where the turnovers occur.
No doubt. Yeah. Will Hill, you give him a follow. @NotTheWillHill. There's a lot happening in New York right now and on the East Coast for Will. But backing the Vikings this week and the Lions this week. So you're going to the NFC North, my division from growing up in Wisconsin. Will, thanks as always for the time, man. Great catching up with you.
All right, Ben, Pritch, good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Will.
And not only, too, that, you know, that those Packers turnovers, not only were they red zone picks, but it's like, if you're going to turn the ball over on these goal-to-go fourth down spots, at least throw incomplete. Because you force then the team to have the ball on their own one. You get picked in the end zone. It's like it's a double whammy.
Can't you run it, though?
And you could also do that.
You could also run it.
Yeah, like, why, is it really necessary to try right. the tackle-eligible sure. throw to David Bakhtiari? Yeah, probably not. Don't get me started on
okay.
Packers. We don't need to.
You started yourself.
Well, actually, unfortunately, we have to talk about the Packers because they are part of Injury Tuesday. Whole lot of injuries. We'll talk about that big marquee matchup, at least on paper. Packers-Cowboys, when we continue on the Lombardi Line.